Joining us in the studio on Static this evening, it's so great to welcome in Bryce and Amy.
Hey.
From Animal and the Sniffers, people with a record out as well. Well done.
You.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Thank you.
Your voice is a little bit already ravaged, Amy.
Yeah. Nerds. Nah, I don't think.
Well, you know, after all the touring and everything else Amal have been doing the past couple of years, I feel like your voice may be the least ravaged part of you. It's been a wild ride.
Yeah.
And good to see you got that album there as well, because for a while there, I think you said last year, Amy, you'd taken a stab at doing it and the stuff hadn't worked out.
Oh, yeah, we just done it and it didn't sound as good. Like, we hadn't really practiced much and they kind of just sounded like demos, really, because I guess they were.
And so how did you end up nailing it? You had to go to England to get the record done.
We just had to play them live, like, every night for 4 months.
Yeah, we went to Sheffield and recorded it with a producer, which we'd never really done before, a real producer. So it was sick.
There's a guy called Ross Orton.
Ross Orton, yeah.
Who's done The Fall, so I'm sure you must be a walk in the park after dealing with Marcus Smith, right?
Totally.
We gave him a go.
And so by then, did you really know all the songs? Like, was that pretty much your live set this album's ended up being?
I think of them, I wrote the lyrics in the studio, but the rest of them, yeah.
There's three, like, brand spanking new songs. The rest are, like, pretty old that we've been playing for ages.
When you factor in all the touring and travelling that Amal and the Sniffers have done the past couple of years anyway, it's still a pretty quick turnaround for an album. I'm more impressed that you found the time to do it, Amy.
Yeah, but we're no King Gizzard, I mean.
Just because you're on their label doesn't mean you have to keep up with them now,
oh,
right?
Oh, God, no.
Do they say to you, where's the other four albums for this year?
Yeah, they're whipping us.
Because initially, Bryce, I mean, you guys had your first EP out in the space of 12 hours.
Yeah, written and recorded in 12 hours pretty much, and released.
Was that a kind of a good way to launch into the band? Because it almost sort of threw you in at the deep end?
I guess so. It's always been pretty spontaneous, so it's nice to keep doing spontaneous shit. Me and Bryce got espresso martinis. That's pretty spontaneous.
Yeah, a $20 espresso martini. Yeah.
And Amy, has the sound and message of this band primarily come out of being a live entity? Like, have you guys felt that the band has sort of solidified itself by being this non-stop touring beast?
Yeah, probably. It's like maybe like the gelatin in the cake. Or actually, there's no gelatin in cakes.
Icing.
Because, I mean, when you listen to the record, it's a pretty relentless ride. So was that kind of the aim of the album, Bryce? Did you guys sort of sit around and talk about it much?
Not really at all. Like, we don't really think about anything we do too much at all. We just kind of try and punch it out as much as we can. Like, and just go hard. Like, there's not a lot of thought that goes into it.
Well, I'd like to think a song like Monsoon Rock is a pretty apt song title and also, I guess, mission statement for the band.
Monsoon Rock, yeah.
How much time do you spend on the messages or the lyrics then, even, Amy?
A lot of them are written, like, the boys will, like, write the song and we'll just jam it over and over and I'll write the lyrics at the time, like, in the moment. Because that way it's honest, it's just straight from the gut and you don't think about it too much and it's just what it is. But other times I'll write them down and have a play with them and think a bit more about it.
Do you feel like you've kind of figured out an identity for the band as it's gone along? Did you have much of a discussion before you formed the band about what it would be, Bryce?
Well, when we first started, I think we wanted to be like a B-52s band kind of thing. That was like years ago.
Yeah, the idea was like we'd be like the B-52s and we'd play house parties.
Oh, man. Where did that cowbell go?
I know. Bryce.
Yeah.
Drummers.
But did you also still then keep playing house parties anyway, despite the fact you didn't sound like the B-52s?
I don't know.
And so you sort of were figuring it out as you went along?
Yeah, definitely. We're still figuring it out.
Yeah,
we're
don't know
babies
shit.
In the world. We're just living.
Despite the fact you don't sound like the B-52s in any way, shape or form now, do you get a lot of opinionated sort of old rock dogs telling you bands they think you sound like?
All the bloody time.
Everyone's like, you're like Blondie. I'm like, no, I'm fucking not. Like, why? Because I'm blonde. Like, shove it up your ass. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, she's great, but we like sonically don't sound anything similar.
What's the weirdest sort of throw in that someone said as a band you sound like?
Jeez, I don't know.
The Wiggles. No, we never got that.
But it must also be hard. Sometimes you kind of want to go, can't we just be us for a while? Like, did people sort of want to, you know, put all these expectations
on? Oh, I'll tell you something funny. Somebody reviewed us and said that Monsoon Rock was like Cotton Eye Joe on speed.
I'd put that on my tombstone. That's not bad.
It's terrible. I'm like, no.
I love that. I think that's really funny.
It made me so mad.
But do you have to push back against that a bit? Do you have to sort of say to people, look, can we just figure this out ourselves first?
I don't say that, but that's actually something I should probably start saying. This is counselling.
Yeah. You feel like you need that more and more as the band goes on?
I guess so. We just kind of do what feels right for us. We don't really think about what anyone else thinks or anything. So they say stuff and I'm like, yeah. And then just keep doing whatever I was doing anyway.
Your eyes glaze over,
yeah,
and that's all
it.
It's done.
Yeah.
I mean, Amy, you can look after your own each time you go on stage, but do you feel now, as the band's getting bigger and the crowds are getting bigger, is it harder to kind of keep a handle on the crowd? You know, are there sort of weirder people in the crowd?
Oh, yeah, there's weirdos like all the time. But they've been there from the start, so it's just fun now because I'm getting stauncher, so I can just, you know, be mean. I don't feel bad about it anymore.
So that's not a worry at all, especially for you guys, Bryce, as well, watching Amy go in sometimes?
Oh, it is sometimes because, I know, she goes pretty hard, so I don't want to hurt herself. But
I like hurting.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah.
Are there any places you won't go back to where you've had such horrible experiences, like anywhere deep south in America or something, Amy?
No, not really. I mean, like, people get really, like, touchy and grabby everywhere. So I had this thing once, someone was referring to, like, a negative comment, like a shit in a pool. Like, you can have most of the pool be, like, really nice and pretty, but then if there's one shit in it, people won't swim. But I think, I don't care, I'll just fuck off and I'll see you next time. That's what I think.
Is that why you wrote GFY as well? I've heard you introduce that song.
Yeah.
You know, almost when you've been at your most riled up at a show. It must be good to actually have a song called Go Fuck Yourself.
Oh, yeah, it's good. It's fun.
I thought you were joking the first time you mentioned that as a song title.
Why not, eh?
And what do you pick sort of people out of the crowd then to dedicate that one to?
Yeah, I just look at them and I say, no, I don't.
But by and large as well, it must be a pretty reassuring thing to see most crowds are pretty excited to watch the band. It must be a largely positive experience, Bryce?
Yeah, definitely. Like, everywhere we go, it seems to be, like, the crowd is sick. Like, people know the words, the songs and shit. It's pretty fucking unreal, especially overseas and stuff. Like, we never expected that kind of thing to ever happen. So it's really fucking, like, fortunate.
Yeah, you look like one of the bands that would be the most fun to be in for the most part, apart from losing your voice, Amy.
Nah, it's all right. There's worse things to lose.
I keep waiting for you guys to turn into dickheads, but it hasn't happened yet either.
Only because we like you.
Yeah, I'll give you a few more months of touring this record overseas and then we'll see how it plays.
Yeah. Here you go.
Well, it's so great to have the Amyl and the Sniffers album out this week, and you guys are on the road forever, so you need to think of some ways to soothe that
it's
voice.
It's only,
Amy,
when I do it in Australia, because I see everyone and I like them and I'm talking all night and dancing other things.
So only when you're happy is when the voice goes.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just be miserable forever.
We might have a listen to a song off the record now. We'll play Control.
Yeah.
Which is another great riled up one.
Yeah.
Amy and Bryce, so great to have you in here. Have yourselves an amazing tour.
Thank you.
Thanks,
and
mate.
This is Amyl and the Sniffers on Static. Thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers.